Thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. For years now, people have been setting up a little contest between crypto and gold, but that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since the events in Ukraine and the oil and inflation crisis, gold has done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, and who isn't, just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metals IRAs for your retirement. They'll get you straightened out on your options and hold your hand through the entire process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 right now to find out more, or visit noblegoldinvestments.com.
Across DOD, I can't tell you of one instance that I've heard about, and I've talked to thousands of service members, where the DOD has provided informed consent, basically saying, here's what the vaccine consists of. Here are the potential severe reactions. And by law, you have the absolute right to refuse because it's emergency use authorized. I haven't heard of that at all. And that's part of what Captain Ritter was seeking to do, was making sure these soldiers understood what their rights were, because the military, the leaders and the commanders, they're not providing that.
You know, for individuals who are going through hard times, for individuals who are going through the ringer with the mandates, who are going through the ringer with vaccination refusal, right? If you're rooting yourself in the truth and you're rooting yourself in the regulations and what the law is, what is it that you actually really have to lose?
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. That was Attorney David Wilson and his client, Captain Seth Ritter, a real hero. And towards the end of the interview, Dr. Lee Vliet says, this whole thing is evil, cloaked in military secrecy. What if many of the people in military leadership are cut from the same cloth as Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, completely devoid of integrity? Listen to this soundbite, because these people who lack integrity, they don't care. They just want to retain power.
Every time you have a press conference, you say crime is down. The economy is booming.
Well, that's not true, but get to your question, sir.
Across the street, we had a police officer on duty, the victim of a hit and run. We have Michigan Avenue, the magnificent miles now referred to as the mile of fear. The Water Tower Place has thrown the keys back to the lender. They say they don't want to be in Chicago anymore. Real Chicagoans are asking me, how could you possibly even consider running for re-election as mayor of the city of Chicago after all the harm you've caused?
Well, I disagree with you fundamentally. And I don't think I need to address any and dignify your comments one second further. Next question.
And friends, that's exactly the same attitude coming from the Biden administration and military leadership regarding the decimation of our armed forces at the hands of a tyrannical mandate for an experimental biological weapon. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Did you know you can earn hundreds of thousands of dollars investing in crypto? And did you know if you do it right, you don't have to pay capital gains tax on it? Open a Roth crypto IRA right now with My Digital Money to take advantage of it. And when you go to retire, you will pay nothing on your capital gains. If Ethereum, Chainlink, or Solana doubles, or Bitcoin surges to a new high, you could be doubling your investments. My Digital Money's U.S.-based phone support is always ready to answer your questions. And you know what's better? They will give you a free $50 credit if you fund your My Digital Money crypto IRA account with at least $1,000. That's right, no capital gains tax. Go to MyDigitalMoney.com right now, MyDigitalMoney.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGTReport.com here and SGTReport.tv. I want to provide an update about Captain Seth Ritter. As you guys will recall, Dr. Lee Vliet and I did an emergency broadcast the other day titled Red Alert Tyranny at Fort Benning, because Dr. Lee Vliet was concerned about the well-being of Captain Ritter upon his return to Fort Benning. I believe that was on Sunday night. Let me welcome my guests. We have an update for you here. Dr. Lee Vliet is back. How are you, Lee?
I'm well, thank you. Good news this week.
Good news to share, certainly an update. I don't know that we're through the woods yet, but we have Captain Seth Ritter on this call right now, as well as his lawyer, his attorney, David Wilson from Disabled Rights Advocates. Now, you guys will recall that Captain Seth Ritter is a legal grant recipient from Truth for Health organization, from truthforhealth.org, Dr. Lee Vliet's organization, which makes his legal defense possible. Let me welcome the attorney, David Wilson. How are you, sir?
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm good. Thank you.
Very good to have you here, sir. And Captain Seth Ritter, welcome.
Hey, sir. It's an honor to be on. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I want to provide just a little inside baseball here. I didn't know this the last time Dr. Vliet and I spoke, but evidently, guys, this good man with integrity, Captain Seth Ritter, was accused of causing a disruption at a mass COVID vaccination counseling event, and this is what led to his troubles. I won't speak any further on that. I would like his attorney to speak for him, but before we do that, Dr. Lee Vliet, welcome back here. Do you have any insights before we get rolling here?
Well, yes. I'm very grateful that our team effort, medically and legally working together, was able to get Captain Ritter through the ordeal last week. And upon his return to base, he was forced to undergo yet another behavioral evaluation. And I want to say thank you to the military psychiatrist who evaluated him on Monday, April the 11th, and did a proper, thorough psychiatric evaluation that was done in the way that we professionals in medicine and psychiatry are should be doing it. He didn't politicize it. He did a proper psychiatric evaluation and totally cleared Captain Ritter. And then when Captain Ritter informed me of that, he said, I would like to come out publicly by name and expose what has been done with the weaponization of psychiatry against service members in retaliation so that I can help protect others who are in this situation. So we are honored to have him as a legal grant recipient from Truth for Health Foundation. And we encourage others to donate and support our efforts to defend our military. And Captain Ritter, it's been our honor to represent you and to assist you in getting legal counsel with who is a retired JAG attorney and has military law experience. When you were seeking new counsel, we were able to guide you. And David Wilson has been a warrior. He stayed on the phone with me, with the Ritters and the ER situation and the military police detention for a full 5 hours on Monday, April 4th. And so, Captain Ritter, we're grateful that you have, as we knew you should be, cleared of having any psychiatric disorder or being a danger to yourself or others.
But we should add, this isn't over for Captain Ritter yet. I want the audience to understand that the integrity coming from Captain Ritter, in my view, is exemplary because he wanted other military members to understand their rights as it pertains to a mandatory experimental COVID vaccine. That's number one. I believe that's what started his troubles. But beyond that, he was standing up for OCS students under his command. Do I have that right? And by virtue and by way of filing two IG complaints against MG Donahue, who I believe was his superior, things only got worse. Am I stating that right? What is the crux of the problem here, and where do we stand on this board of inquiry coming up?
Well, let me go through a few things. I know Seth has just a few facts to correct, but first of all, across DOD, I can't tell you of one instance that I've heard about, and I've talked to thousands of service members, where the DOD has provided informed consent, basically saying, here's what the vaccine consists of, here are the potential severe reactions, And by law, you have the absolute right to refuse because it's emergency use authorized. I haven't heard of that at all. And that's part of what Captain Ritter was seeking to do, was making sure these soldiers understood what their rights were, because the military, the leaders and the commanders, they're not providing that. So they're basically lying to service members, and then they come up with terms like, well, it's approved. One of the things I'm telling everybody is the SecDef memo didn't say approved or not approved. It said fully licensed. They don't have a fully licensed vaccine. Therefore, they cannot order it. These orders are unlawful. So what Captain Ritter is facing is a board of inquiry. Basically, it's like a separation board or a chapter board. They're looking to kick him out of the Army. And their allegations, we're looking at a lot of conflicts of interest between the commanding general who appointed the board and now potentially the new general who's appointed, who reappointed the board. But they're alleging that he caused misconduct by posting content on social media, which was disrespectful of a superior commissioned officer. The first conflict is that the same commanding general who appointed this board, who gave him the Gomar General Officer Memorandum of Reprimand for this alleged conduct, was the one who ended up on Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham for getting in a Twitter fight. So he essentially did what he's accusing Captain Ritter of doing. The second one is an allegation that he disrupted an official briefing. This was a briefing that was set up for soldiers who refused the vaccine. And we won't go into all the facts because we need to discuss those at the board. But Captain Ritter's goal was just to listen and hear what was going on. When none of the information that was pertinent to the soldiers to understand their rights and what they were required to do and not required to do was not addressed, he raised his hand to ask a question. And that's when they refused to answer questions, he started saying loud enough for people to hear in a theater that they had the right to refuse. There was not a licensed vaccine, and they escorted him out, and then it all snowballed from there. The final allegation is related to one of the Gomars, General Officer Memorandum of Reprimand that he received, which was filed permanently. And when you look at the rebuttal to that Gomar, they did not substantiate or prove, even by the lowest standard, most, if not all, of those facts that they based the Gomar on. So they just kind of pushed it through. And this, the way things are proceeding, we filed memos to object to the board based on conflict. This CG could not appoint a board because he engaged in basically the same conduct he's accusing Captain Ritter of. And he also got into arguments. The conflict is very deep. It's just amazing to me what's going on. So I'll pause there. I know Captain Ritter had a couple facts he wanted to correct real quick.
Okay. Yeah, Captain Ritter, please, you have the floor.
Absolutely. Hey, again, thank you for having me on. First off, I am on an approved leave status. I have to kind of get that out of the way and state that, yeah, my views are my own. They're my own opinions. They're my own perceptions of events that occurred. And they do not, thankfully, they do not represent the United States Army or the Department of Defense. So I believe when you led off, one of the statements was, could you kind of refresh my memory on?
Yeah, for me, well, when Lee Vliet and I spoke about you, she had told me about the two IG complaints and a criminal complaint against MG Donahue, Article 92 and other violations. You were trying to stand up for female OC students under your command, as is your duty. Is that all correct and accurate?
Those individuals actually were not under my command, right? They weren't. Both of the individuals that were listed in that criminal complaint that you referred to, though, they were not actually like in my command. One of them belonged to the brigade that I belonged to, but I didn't have any direct like supervisory or command responsibility over that individual. However, as an officer, if I do witness events that seemingly violate UCMJ or violate standing orders, I have a duty or responsibility as an officer to report that. That is listed multiple times, not only in the Army regulations, but it's also listed in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, especially if I witness something that would constitute what's called a serious offense, right? And a serious offense being anything in the UCMJ that could be under 131 Charlie to Article 131 Charlie to carry a possible maximum sentence of at least a year in prison, right? And if that occurs, I have the capacity to create a criminal complaint and report that, which is what occurred. So no, those individuals were not under my command. I didn't have responsibility for those individuals, but I did have a responsibility to report what appeared to be inappropriate conduct from the commanding general, not from the actual those two individuals, but from the commanding general based upon the rank disparity and based upon the TRADOC regulations. Does that make sense, sir?
Yeah, it does. And I'm looking back at my notes. I think Dr. Vliet informed me correctly. I wrote down OCS students under Donahue's command. So I may have misspoke there a second ago. Did these OCS students speak up for themselves?
Well, I mean, so the interactions were two ways on social media, right? So it because, you know, if a general was to approach me as a OCS student and try and interact with me online, I would be probably over the moon, right? Because with that favor, right, with them highlighting me as an individual, them highlighting my social media account as an individual, that would possibly carry with it some added benefits for my career, right? Because other people notice that, other influential individuals and people in power notice the attention that I'm receiving from a two-star general, right? So, it was kind of a two-way interaction.
Let me just ask David a question. David, can you speak to the nature of the criminal complaint against MG Donahue? Because I'm left here speculating. I'm thinking sexual harassment, things like that. Is there a finer point that you can put on it? What are you able to say about it? Because here, Captain Ritter stuck his neck out in a very profound way, and now he's on the chopping block. So what are we talking about here? Was this a big deal, not a big deal? Should he have stuck his neck out? He might be having second thoughts about having done so now.
I would equate it more to a level of fraternization and violation of regulations. So as Captain Ritter is explaining, if the online content was with all the OCS students and it was sort of a large group chat, that would have been one thing. But some of the messages seem like they were between friends and personal, not harassing, not at all in a sexual nature, but just too personal with someone of such a high rank who is over a lot of soldiers. And I guess a great example would be the soldiers who were not able to engage with or did not get personal congratulations or comments or things like that. They may have felt like, well, why do you have favor with this guy versus everybody else? You know, why are you so special? So more along those lines. I know I'm being
well, and the other part that was concerning to all of us from the medical and legal standpoint is that to then, when an appropriate IG complaint was filed, as Captain Ritter explained, is still a responsibility, whether they were under his direct line of command or they were part of his brigade, his responsibility is the same. And to retaliate and then accuse him of having a psychiatric disorder, requiring him to be evaluated multiple times. I think I know of three times that were mandated behavioral health evaluations taken under escort, under military escort. That is excessive in retaliation for a proper complaint. number one. Then in the military, when someone has filed an IG complaint, the Military Whistleblower Protection Act comes into play, which David Wilson can address in more detail. But there was retaliation against Captain Ritter again after he had already been under the military's own Whistleblower Protection Act. These are the big issues that relate to the weaponization and failure to follow the military rule of law that have a bearing for everyone listening to this program. If the military is not following its regulations to for proper treatment of military service members, and they're purging these people from the military who do ask questions, who do raise issues, who do point out violations, then we're on an ominous path to a tyrannical military coupled with the tyranny we're already seeing in the civilian world. That is the big issue that Truth for Health Foundation is working hard to expose and support in legal defense for the abuses our service members are facing.
Yeah, thanks for reframing that. I think you're right. We talked about it in our emergency broadcast, Tyranny at Fort Benning. If the military is not going to enforce justice and follow its own rules and follow its own rules and guidelines, then what hope is there for our country? And I want to make the point that Captain Ritter is a family man and he loves his country. And Captain Ritter, you do want to serve, right? You don't want to be kicked out of the Army. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's there you go. Sorry, I muted again. Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. I've got a wonderful, amazing wife. She's my rock. And then I also have four beautiful, beautiful boys. And I would very much like to continue to serve. I love the Army, right? I love soldiers. That's my passion is helping soldiers and leading soldiers. I've been doing this for 15 years, right? And on all of those 15 years, because 8.5 of it was in the Marine Corps as an enlisted man in the infantry. So in all of the time, I had received no negative marks, no negative counselings, no like disruptions at all. And so suddenly after 15 years of a like spotless record and a record of like extremely high performance, I suddenly am the dregs of society. And I suddenly am off my rocker for behavioral health reasons. And I suddenly am like this disruptive individual. That's not true. And I'm being painted in a light that is not accurate. It's not true to my character. It's not true to my service record. And it's not true to my intentions, right? Because my intentions are to stay in the military. I want to continue to be able to lead individuals. I want to continue to be able to like serve our country and our nation. My loyalty is to the Constitution. My loyalty is to the people of the United States. My loyalty, right? I've sworn no other like allegiance or oath to any other organization, right? Besides the United States Army. That's all that I belong to. And that's all that I want to do. I want to serve, right? Because regardless of how bad things may appear, but regardless of how bad people may state things or appear on the surface, I people inside the service can continue to who are good, who know the rules, the regulations, and have like actually good intent. I firmly believe that we can turn things around. I firmly believe that like we can actually like help people, and because you know helping people actually accomplishes the mission.
Friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. This is a perfect time for a quick break. For years now, people have been setting up a little contest between crypto and gold, but that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since the events in Ukraine and the oil and inflation crisis, gold has done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, and who isn't, just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metals IRAs for your retirement. They'll get you straightened out on your options and hold your hand through the entire process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 right now to find out more, or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. Many people are going through the same exact thing you are, Captain Ritter, and we as Americans are sick and tired of it. We are tired of a pyramidal structure that does not put human beings and constitutional rights first. That has to end. Number two, it's my understanding that the military, through their psychiatric warfare, was trying to paint the picture that you are a domestic terror threat capable of a mass shooting because you own two handguns and a rifle. Attorney Wilson, do I have that right? And where do we stand on that?
You're correct. And the way I explain this to a lot of people, because I get a lot of requests from people asking, should I file an Article 138, which is a complaint against the command, IG complaints. Basically, what you're doing there is you're delaying what the military is trying to cause as the inevitable. The military justice system is based on the chain of command. And if you're pushing back against a mandate that came from the very top, it's unlikely you're going to find somebody in that chain of command who's going to say, yeah, I agree, this order is unlawful. Therefore, I am not requiring you to get vaccinated or whatever that order is. And so what you're doing is you're pushing against the entire chain of command, and it goes all the way to the top. And certainly in Captain Ritter's case, what we've seen, and, you know, until they investigate and really figure out why the actions were taken that were taken, the appearance is it's these regulations apply to thee, not to me. So
right.
when Captain Ritter tried, and he's got over the last year or so a history of trying to report injustices, inappropriate behavior, all against higher ranking individuals, and then they turn around and he's the one that's ending up getting in trouble for trying to make sure justice is served. So when he filed his most recent complaint, rather than being told, okay, we'll look into it, we'll let you know what happens, suddenly he finds himself being dragged into mental health and told, we're concerned about your safety and the safety of others. Well, he's been cleared certainly twice now, I would argue three times, and there's no justification for their actions. It just doesn't make sense. So it comes across as, you don't mess with me because of the rank I hold, but I can mess with you because you're lower ranking. And that's not how the military is supposed to work. And so the lack of integrity going up the top is, at least to me, is very apparent.
All right.
Well, let me put this in perspective, too, that some of the women listeners out there can understand. This, what David Wilson just described about a commanding general not following the rules is very analogous in the civilian world to what happens in court when a rape victim tries to file charges against their attacker. Because the thing I've seen over my adult life has been the rape victim is the one who's put on trial, the one who's accused of bad behavior, when we're overlooking what the abuser and the attacker is doing. So for the civilian audience to understand the parallels and what is happening to our military service members, it's very much go after attacking the person who did the right thing, who's the victim of what went on. Yeah. When you're trying to say they have a psychiatric disorder and invoke the laws of emergency detention that allow, if someone is labeled a danger to themselves or others in the civilian world and in the military, if certain conditions are met using those buzzwords, they can forcibly medicate someone and hold them in involuntary treatment facilities behind a locked unit. So it's very serious, and it's something the public needs to understand is played out in other ways in the civilian world.
Let me do a screen share. Dr. Vliet, I just want you to explain to people listening, my audience is well aware, but let's pretend that some of the higher ups in the military might be listening to this, somebody that could actually make a difference in this case. This is the VAERS reporting database. Now look at the date on this, guys, February 4th, 2022. These numbers are now much higher. I'm not exactly sure what the current count is. Maybe Dr. Vliet knows, but as of February 4th, 2022, 23,615 deaths associated with the experimental COVID quote-unquote vaccine. I'm coming back to you, Dr. Vliet, with this question. And I continue to hear this from pharmacists, a lot of people going in and speaking to pharmacists that are peddling these shots. And the pharmacists do not know that it is still an experimental use authorization. They incorrectly state on the record that they believe it has been fully approved, and they cite Comirnaty, which is not available in the United States. Can you please reframe for the audience and for the military that this thing is experimental and therefore it is unconstitutional to mandate it on anybody?
That is absolutely correct. Let's be clear. Every COVID shot available for the public and the military in the United States of America is still under emergency use authorization, which means it's experimental and you have the right to refuse. And those data from February 4th have gone even dramatically higher. In fact, that's 2 months ago. We're over 30,000 deaths, and that's one estimated to be 1% of the total. Theirs is inaccurate. They are withholding posting the adverse reports, and it is so broken and so difficult to use that people are discouraged from reporting it. Harvard in 2010 estimated 1% of adverse events are showing up in theirs. That's why we launched the Citizens Vaccine Injury Reporting System at truthforhealth.org. But Sean, number one, they are all experimental. You have the right to refuse. Number two, they are not safe. You look at the data on the injuries, and that is obvious. In the swine flu vaccine, there were 25 deaths. They stopped the program. We're over 30,000. If that's the tip of the iceberg, then it's more horrific than that. So they're not safe. We're seeing permanent damage, permanent injury, and we're seeing death. And they're not effective. Most of the people that are getting COVID now have been fully vaccinated and boosted, and they're still getting COVID, and I'm treating them in my practice. Most of my COVID patients since the middle of 2021, after the vaccines have been out for a while, most of the people who got COVID were fully vaccinated. So it's not safe, not effective, not approved, and it's experimental, and you have the right to refuse. Five key points.
Yeah, and let me share this. It's a little bit anecdotal. It's not necessarily fully quantifiable, but I've got a gut reaction to this. My hunch is that Gilbert Godfrey, who is fully vaccinated, is another one of these deaths. Also, Louis Anderson recently died. Now, he was overweight, but again, fully vaccinated. Bob Saget, who was otherwise in very good health, very mysterious death, dies in his hotel room, massive head injuries, no evidence that he ever fell and hit his head on anything. And then another case I like to cite, the Foo Fighters drummer, Taylor Hawkins, age 50, in peak physical condition, dies with a heart twice its normal weight. And he was fully COVID vaccinated. So again, anecdotal stories, but to me, the preponderance of the evidence is beginning to add up because we see more and more unexplicable deaths every single day. By the way, the insurance company CEO, the Indiana insurance company CEO, cites a 40% spike in deaths of people between the ages of 18 and 64 over the past year. And nobody wants to correlate it to the vaccine.
And that's happening with every major insurance carrier. I have heard the data now from all of the major life insurance companies in the United States, and every one of them is reporting for 2021, 40 to 60 or higher percent increase in morbidity and mortality in 2021 compared to 2020 when we had the COVID pandemic. It is devastating damage with these COVID shots, no question. And what's happening in the medical profession, doctors are playing ostrich to the fact that all of the people that are dying suddenly like this have the symptoms that go with inflammation, nanoparticle damage, spike protein damage, micro blood clotting, leading to heart attacks, strokes, brain bleeds, and the sudden death syndromes. We're seeing it in the athletes in Europe. There are over 769 elite athletes in Europe that have collapsed on the field and died. When have we ever had anything like that in our adult lives?
Yeah, I think the number is over 900 now, athletes around the world collapsing during games. Not all of them dying, but a lot of them dying. And the average age, 23 years old. But the mainstream media will say, well, you know, it's the result of anxiety. It's the result of COVID lockdowns making people feel not very darn healthy. So we should expect to see more heart attacks among children. The mainstream media is now peddling that narrative. It's absolute insanity. Attorney Wilson, let me ask you, what do you hope will happen and what do you think might happen? I don't know if you can speculate, but what's the best case scenario for Captain Ritter?
Well, as I described with the chain of command, and you're sort of describing with the, I call it, I don't know, there's two people, two types of commanders I've been telling service members about. There's those who are just deceived, and maybe an Article 138 or an IG complaint or discussion or some of the memos that we put out, and we put out a lot of free documentation to help service members address these issues. Hopefully some of that information will get to these commanders and they'll be like, wait a minute, they make a lot of sense here. Maybe I need to rethink this. Not that they can really do anything unless they're at the very high level. But then there's those who are like, rah, rah, my commander told me to do this. I don't care who it harms. I'm going to make this happen because it's all about me and my career. But the hope is the board members listening to the evidence that the government puts forward and that we put forward in rebuttal are going to be neutral, use common sense, and not feel like they have a duty to the chain of command above them, that they're going to sit there and be impartial. That's my prayer. I don't have a lot of high hopes for that based on what I'm hearing throughout the military and how things are proceeding. So, you know, it's just a matter of we put our case forward and then hope that on an appeal. But, you know, like I said, and I don't want to depress Captain Ritter, but, you know, we're fighting the chain all the way up to the top. And there's a few instances like his where they're trying to make examples of people who pushed back against these mandates. So, you know, hope for the best, plan for the worst. So,
yeah. I want to do a screen share in a second because there's something I want to say that I don't think Captain Ritter could say, or maybe he wouldn't say it. Maybe he doesn't feel the way I do, but I want to say it. Before I do that, Dr. Vliet, any final words? What is a good call to action for the audience aside from, and I would recommend that everybody support truthforhealth.org because it's the legal grant that makes the defense of Captain Ritter possible. Yes. So, but what's another call to action here? There must be a lot of other military members in a similar situation. I've interviewed some of them. I've interviewed some of these good men and women who just simply did not want to be forced to take an experimental vaccination. And now these people are in the position of losing their careers. Some of these people are a year away from getting their pensions. They've been in the military 18, 19 years, and they're going to be kicked out because of this tyrannical top-down dictate coming from the commander-in-chief. And I'm going to share that in a second, but your thoughts.
My thoughts and call to action would be stand with courage, speak boldly, have faith, because ultimately our God is sovereign and America is a country that was built on principles with our founders divinely inspired that life and liberty are God's gifts. Your body is God's gift and it is the temple of the Bible tells us. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit through which we serve the Lord in this world. So you have the right to bodily integrity. You have the right to defend your religious beliefs, your medical freedom, and Truth for Health Foundation is here to support all of those and to bring you truthful information. So join our crusade, help support our legal defense program, download our early treatment guide, download our vaccine injury guide. If you've had the shot, you've had complications, fill out a vaccine injury report, get tested. We have a list of the tests that can be helpful. We are putting up more information every day, and we want you to be part of the solution. And we work together to do as Americans have always done and stand for the right thing and the rule of law. So thank you, Sean.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Vliet. And again, guys, the website is truthforhealth.org. I'll leave a link below. David Wilson, I'm going to give you the final word. In fact, Captain Ritter can have the final word if he would like it, but I'll go to you next. Here's the screen share. And I want the military members, I want the commanders, I want the people above Captain Miller to understand, not that they're listening to this, but we hear time and time again that it is the duty of these men and women in the military not to obey unconstitutional orders. So just for the sake of showing folks what's going on, we have jumped the shark. Logic no longer matters, and evidently neither does the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. Biden extends mask mandates for Americans while scrapping all restrictions for illegal border migrants. Let that sink in. That's the commander in chief. My heart goes out to Captain Ritter. David Wilson, anything you can add to that?
Yeah, so Captain Ritter and a lot of the other service members I've spoken to are really becoming the cream of the crop in showing their integrity. I mean, he's facing his career here, but he still decided he's going to push this and stand up for what he believes is right. And if anybody wants to look at it, it's ADP 6-22. It's an Army regulation. And it talks about how in Chapter 2, unlawful orders, how the soldier is taking their career and potentially their life, you know, facing imprisonment, for violating order they believe is unlawful, but they have to have the integrity to say, look, this is not right, and I have to challenge it regardless of the cost to me and my career. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people in the military who are just thinking self, you know, I'm going to worry about me and myself and not worry about my troops and the rest of the military and pushing back against tyranny. I applaud those people who are standing up. For those who are facing this, you've got to fight. The military doesn't want any of this public. They don't want it coming out. So they're hesitant to go to boards because boards can become very public. So you can decide if you don't want to fight, you got to do what you got to do. But if you're willing to fight, then that's what it's needed.
All right. Well, Captain Ritter, if you'd like to make any final comments, I will give you the floor. I would just say this. If it ends up that you no longer get to be in the Army, we don't know what's coming. We don't know what they're going to do. But if you end up back out in the public sector, the private sector, I guess I should say, there are many, many patriots that listen to this show that I'm sure would have your back and would love to hire somebody with your integrity. So maybe share a little bit about your expertise, your area of expertise, because I'm sure you could bring a lot to the table for a lot of people that would like to employ you should you end up not in the Army.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously we're hoping for the best case scenario, which is individuals follow the rules, right? They suddenly choose to actually follow the rules and the regulations that they're supposed to abide by every day, right? In the event that doesn't happen, and the board doesn't rule in our favor, then yeah, I will be most likely separated from the service. Prior to the Army, you know, I served in the Marine Corps for 8.5 years as an infantryman. So like my entire time, you know, career-wise may not have been the best choice, you know, sticking with the infantry. However, I did manage restaurants. I've done like sales positions. Here's the thing. I can do anything that I set my mind to. I can. And you know, I know for a fact that wherever we land or whatever happens, it's going to be all right. Like our family is going to be okay. The Lord is going to see us through, right? Because that is the only reason that I'm here today and safe. Like after the last year and a half of like tribulation and persecution that has occurred, right? And the retaliatory actions on the surface that it would appear that they are, that all of that, you know, that is extremely stressful on myself and on my family. And the only way that we've been able to get through any of that has been through like our faith and through prayer. And the only way that I'm here now today, speaking with you and not in a, you know, the behavioral health ward at the hospital here, is really, it's through the extraordinary efforts of Dr. Lieve Leet and through Attorney David Wilson, through organizations and alternative media such as yourself. And there's no way that I will ever be able to repay that, right? And I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart that for sticking your neck out, for going the extra mile and doing, you know, anything and everything that you could do to help to free me from that unlawful detention that occurred, right? Because you guys enabled me to be able to take my kids to the bus stop again, like one more day, right? You guys enabled me to like sit down and have dinner with my family one more day, right? Because there's no guarantee that I would have ever been released from the behavioral health ward, right? Under the false pretenses that I was there in the first place, that may have continued. So I honestly do want to appreciate, I want to thank each and every one of you and all the prayers from every individual out there. And well, I think the last thing I want to say is that, you know, for individuals who are going through hard times, for individuals who are going through the ringer with the mandates, who are going through the ringer with vaccination refusal, right? If you're rooting yourself in the truth and you're rooting yourself in the regulations and what the law is, what is it that you actually really have to lose, right? Because it would appear that if you're following the law, you're following the regulations, if you're following the dictates of your conscience, of your faith, of your own medical like choices, in 20 years, you can live with that, right? And in 20 years, I can live with telling the truth. And if I decide, like if certain individuals in the command decide that I need to be removed from the service for telling the truth, I can live with that, right? I can. And so I want everyone out there who is going through it right now, I want you guys to understand that there's still hope. There's absolutely still hope. Yes. There is, and you cannot give up. You can't. There's no other alternative.
Yeah, 100%. Let me just say, there are employers in this country that want people just like you. You tick all the boxes. And I'll say this, my buddy Clay Clark, he is setting up, you guys have heard of like Indeed, it's like a job search website type of thing. He's setting up a similar thing for patriots, for companies that want patriots, for people with conservative values. There are employers all over this country looking for people just like you, Captain Miller. You will land on your feet. We got your back. When a door closes, God opens a window. So stay in touch with me and Dr. Vliet. We got your back on this thing. And good luck with the Board of Inquiry coming up. However the chips fall, you will land on your feet because you have God-fearing patriots that got your back. I want to thank you so much for speaking out and speaking truth. Captain Seth Ritter, God bless.
Thanks, sir.
Dr. Lieve Leet, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you for having us and for shining light on this evil under the cloak of military secrecy. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure to be a part of this conversation. David Wilson, thanks for what you're doing. Good luck next week.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Keep us posted, gentlemen. Please keep us posted. All right. Friends, I want to thank you all for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars, as always, and our members at sgtreport.tv, where we have that handy-dandy server beyond the reach of totalitarian Big Brother. And for real news every day, friends, please visit us directly at sgtreport.com. As you know, that is the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
A fourth blow after lockdowns, no jab, no job, and sanctions, which might take down the economy completely, setting up the Great Reset. And that would be the cyber attack.